Good morning. Today is Tuesday, July the 21st. Is it one of those fancy? No, it's not even a fancy day today. I guess we had a full moon yesterday. Joining us this morning, however, is Jana Valakovic from the UC Cooperative Extension. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Well, you're sounding more chipper than we were than you were when we were talking about the prospects of K-12 education a couple moments ago.
Well, yeah, that doesn't look so good.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things that I keep hearing getting kicked around is, all right, how are we going to handle it, not only for moms and dads, but how are we going to handle it as business operators also? That is, you know, I guess flexibility is going to be the operative word?
Yeah.
All right.
Be nimble, adaptive. All plans need fallback plans.
Yeah.
And fallback plan means fallback plan.
Yeah, exactly. All that fun stuff. Alrighty, speaking of that, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Sure.
Alright. How do we get... let's see, that's a phrase. A rise. Why do we say we get a rise out of a person when he or she can't take a joke?
Blood pressure goes up. Their heartbeat goes up.
All right.
I don't know.
The expression comes from fishing. If you place the right lure in the right spot at the right time, the fish will rise to the bait and be caught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Pied Piper.
That one almost like makes sense. As contrasted to so many of the other ones, huh? Oh boy. Well, it seems like an annual
humility.
Yes. It seems like an annual rite of passage to be talking about fire weather, defensible space, et cetera, this time of the year. Is 2020 going to be any different in that arena?
No. In fact, we had late spring rains, which fed the grasses, and then we had a lot of parts in California that received insufficient amount of precipitation this year, and they're in critical drought conditions. So whether it's fire for the North Coast or smoke for the North Coast, things are not looking so great that way.
Okay, so if we are going to be looking at that, then what are we looking at as far as items or things we can do to kind of, are you ready for the fancy word for this morning? Ameliorate.
Ooh,
the impacts. Yeah, I brought that one out of the dictionary, huh?
Uh-huh, I love that word. Well, tell me what kind of homeowner I should be talking to.
Well, let's start with probably the most basic, simplest. Somebody who's in town, not in a fringe, like a cutting area, but let's say downtown Arcata.
Downtown Arcata? Well, then you're more dealing with house fires than you are with wildland fires. But nonetheless, it's always good to be prepared. Make sure your smoke alarms are in good shape. Make sure you have a plan, just like we're supposed to have a plan for tsunamis and other events and power shutoffs and all that stuff. But, you know, in our urban areas in the North Coast, we're generally not as prone to these wildfire events like we've seen near Redding and in Santa Rosa and those urban communities that are a lot hotter and a lot drier than we are here.
Okay, let me kick it just a little bit. We seem to have an outbreak of homes with really long grass in the front that are a foot to 2 feet long. I don't know if those are unoccupied rentals, owned out of the area rentals, people who have defaulted on their house notes. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a lot more regularity of homes or, I guess, commercial buildings also that have kind of turned to seed. Is that any special concern, or the basics are still the basics when you're in town?
The basics are still the basics. I think the thing to remember is that as fire professionals, they talk about fuels in terms of hours, which is kind of funny. There's 1 hour, 10 hour, and 100 hour fuels. And grass for example, would be a one-hour fuel. And why they use the term hour instead of like how much heat you can put out is because it only takes an hour for the fuel moisture in that fuel to change. So, for example, if you've got a burn pile and you're in a more of a place where you have larger lots or more rural property, you start the burn pile early in the morning. You might notice that the grass that is maybe nearby is kind of damp and wet. But by 10 a.m. and the fog is lifted and the sun has come out and that grass can be brittle and dry. So it changes its fuel moisture rather quickly. So the grass that's surrounding a home can easily carry a fire after it's warmed up a little bit.
Now, what is the definition of a permissive burn day? I know that's something that the Air Quality District makes a call on, but what is a permissive burn day? You were mentioning the humidity and things of that nature. Are they related?
The permissive burn days are more related to air quality than they are to humidity and dry conditions. So, burning season goes through a period of suspension during the summer, which, open pile burning is not permitted at this time of year for obvious reasons. But the permissive burn day more relates to that air quality condition, and that relates to, what happens if you put smoke in the air? Is it going to, fall down, get smashed to the ground and, cause, smoke inundation into communities? Or is it going to lift and get carried up into the atmosphere and move along?
Do unto others?
Well, if you're someone that uses fire as a tool, such as someone who might use prescribed fire, everyone is very concerned about where that smoke goes and make sure that it won't impact sensitive receptors, as it's called. So a school, a hospital, someone who has known asthma, some type of agriculture that, can't take smoke, such as honeybees, for example, items and conditions that don't warrant smoke. So you need to make sure you've got the wind direction and the air movement going where you want it to.
So pretty much just kind of pay attention, play by the rules with that one. KINS,
absolutely.
News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. Jana, we talked in the last segment about the developed areas, quote-unquote, the urban in our area. Now, there are places that are certainly more rural. As we start getting away, if we get into the Cuttons, if we get into the Fickell Hills, we get into Fieldbrooks, different dynamic at play in those areas than what we have inside of the city limits, so to speak. How does that change what a homeowner should do and in an approach to trying to pay attention and avoid issues during the fire season?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think a lot of folks still in those communities think that they're rather protected just because we have so much fog here in the summer and, we have a volunteer fire departments and we have CAL FIRE and we have, formal professional fire services. And
well, three minutes away from town. I mean, the physicalness.
Right.
Yeah.
The challenge for us on the North Coast is that when conditions are right for us to burn, they're also right throughout the state. And the hope is that when and if we get an ignition here during those time periods, that the rest of the state isn't on fire and that our resources are not drawn down to go support those other communities. And, I think to illustrate that, when the the big events happened in Sonoma County and a little bit in Mendocino, we call it the Tubbs Fire or the North Bay Fires. People may remember that one of those wind events also hit here on the North Coast, and we had power lines down in Blue Lake. And we had a wildfire ignition in Blue Lake, but it was later in the afternoon that started, and it was before the events happened in Sonoma. So we still had available resources. We still had the helicopter service from CAL FIRE available, and they were able to do rapid response and get on it and, protect a bunch of Lipscomb Hill and, other surrounding communities. But had that happened the next day, when resources had been shifted and we were on sort of lower staffing levels here in the North Coast, when, anyone who was available was deployed to Santa Rosa, that's when things get a little bit more dicey and where we really need to be aware and prepared. So you can't know what's happening in the rest of the state. So I think it's, just a general good practice to be in kind of a firewise, orientation to your property. So that, means that we're thinking about defensible space. We're thinking about how to break up, fuel continuity, meaning one fuel type isn't next to another fuel type. So if you get a wildland ignition, that the fire is not just going to burn to your house. So meaning that you've got mowed areas, you've got, fuel ladders so that the shrubs are trimmed up below, the branches of the trees that, may come closer to your house, meaning that you've got the, material out of your gutters, that collect, as the leaf fall happens and get lodged in your gutters, and that you're just, generally being aware of what is combustible on the property and how that may relate to your house or your outbuildings.
Kind of sounds like just being tidy.
It's a little bit about being tidy, but one of the things that I think people are less aware of is those big fires that have led to home losses, in the Car Fire in Redding and in the Camp Fire in Paradise and in all the events in Sonoma. Those were all really heavily wind-driven events. And so what was happening in each of those events is that there were embers moving in front of the flaming front and bringing spot fires into life. And so those spot fires are really problematic because they're hard to contain, they're happening rapidly, it's hard to get crew response quickly on all those myriad of little events happening. And if you have embers being thrown at your house, what are they going to do? What are they going to land on? Are they going to land in those gutters and catch that vegetation, the leaf material and the redwood needles on fire? Are they going to land on the combustible mulch that you have around your house? Are they going to burn the grass that's underneath the deck? What exactly would those embers find? So at a state level, we're really trying to get people to become more aware about embers and the probability that embers will lead to an ignition on or in your house.
So as you're looking at some of those types of things, and with the fact that the fires kind of leap ahead, and will cross a street or a highway, as we saw down south, were those winds that you were referencing winds that were windstorms or winds that were created through the thermal changes that were going on and just kind of being sucked across the street or sucked in from one area to the next?
Right, you're certainly right that the fire will begin to influence its own weather, but in all of those events, those were wind weather related events relating to where the high and low pressures are, and it's just a pattern that stacks up fairly commonly in California, and especially in the September, October, November time period, where we've had now 150 days without precipitation at that point or something to that effect, and everything is cured very dry and very receptive to ignition, and it's just the dynamic that happens with the way weather happens in California.
Yeah, and it does seem, even though we are so broad along the coast, and I suppose it's all relative. Dry in the desert is different than dry here, but it still allows for a setting for that kind of activity to occur.
Yeah, I think the thing, so we're trying to do two things, trying to help people be aware about what being firewise means, have a plan so that, you know, when they get the go and evacuate, you know, announcement, that they're prepared and they know what to do.
And that's that's a great spot. We'll take that and leap after the commercial break into that area. Okay. It's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond, as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Velikovic from the UC Cooperative Extension, I guess at Spruce Point, just to, I guess, complete the total reference that we normally will have. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, by Murphy's Markets, by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and by REDEC. Yana, we talked kind of going through this progressive risk factor, I guess, the conditions that fire may result in for us. We've talked about kind of the semi-rural. Now, what about the farmers and the ranchers and the cabins and those that, you know, they may have a volunteer fire department, but by the time they get there, they may be on the cleanup crew rather than on a fire suppression team. Just, you know, it just is so rural. The folks that really do have huge risk with a fire out in the hinterlands. Is there anything that they can do other than just be prepared to pack it up and get out fast?
Well, yeah, there's a lot that people can do. I mean, one, people should sign up for the alert. And, you know, there's a Humboldt alert, and you need to sign up for where you need to receive that alert. So I'm fortunate to have a place in the country, and I live in town, so you know, I have to think a little bit about you know where those alerts need to go. But you know, I think part of it's about becoming aware of the weather and the right conditions, and you know, recognizing when we've got those east winds and we've got those warm conditions pouring into the North Coast, and everything gets dry and the vegetation cracks when you step on it. You know, that nature is telling us that the situation is shifting, and we need to be extra aware of the issues. And I mean, just as a personal story, I grew up in the interior of Humboldt County, and my dad used to weed whack with a metal blade because we had a lot of grass and not enough animals to take care of that grass. And the weed whacker with a metal blade was much more successful than with, you know, the little string whip. Well, one day, on one of those conditions, if he wasn't paying that much attention, he was inside our orchard, which had dry grass in it and dry grass surrounding it, and he was trying to, you know, mow down that grass with that metal blade, and sure enough, he hit a rock. And that rock and that metal blade sparked, and we instantly had a wildland fire. And it instantly, he shut the weed whacker down, he pulled off the shirt off his back and was trying to beat the fire, and within, you know, 30 seconds it was through the fence, and he didn't have a gate to get through the fence for quite a long ways. You know, so recognizing those conditions is something that I think we all need to be prepared for. You know, if you've lived in the country for a long time, that's something that, you know, comes second nature. But I think the other part, you know, like I was saying, you know, so you need to be aware of the alert. You need to, you know, pay attention when there's a red flag warning. That's the highest level of warning that is issued from the National Weather Service. That tells you that conditions are right. And if, you know, if you're in a situation where you know that there's a fire that's maybe not nearby, but is within the broader community, then there are things you can do on your property that can help your buildings in particular. So, you know, you need to think about what it's going to take to move any livestock or animals. You might want to do things like sealing your attic and ground vents, because I was talking about embers, and embers can penetrate those vents pretty easily, especially if you just have quarter-inch mesh screen on your vents. They become porous. You know, we want them to flow the moist air from inside the house out and let cool air in, but that that porosity can be an issue if embers are at play. So can make some temporary plywood vent covers, or get some foil tape and seal the vents off from the inside of the house.
Can you do it from the outside?
You can do it from the outside, too. It might be easier from the inside. It depends, you know, it might be easier to get into the attic than to crawl up on a tall ladder.
Yeah, it depends on your house. Your house style.
You know, if you have extra garbage cans around, you can fill them with water, put them in front of the house, and put buckets nearby. So if someone does respond, there's immediate water. Make your water sources very available. Connect your garden hoses. Bring them towards the house. Position a ladder that would lean up against the house. So, for example, if your gutters catch on fire, someone can, you know, pull one of those garden hoses and put that fire out, or pull the gutter off. You know, so there's things like that that can kind of get you in the mindset. Turning off your propane barbecue tank, moving that away from the house.
That's what I was thinking. You know, even with the interface areas, the Cuttons and Fickle Hills and Fieldbrooks. Any of the things that go boom or have a chance?
Yeah, things that go boom.
Think about it. You know, do you really want to store that in the garage that you're bringing your vehicle in with that whole potentiality? I mean, just think about that kind of stuff. Just, you know, for a moment or two. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but what if?
Right, what if? And I guess, so there's kind of a framework of what to do 4 to 6 hours before you might have to evacuate. You know, these are some of the bigger things that I was talking about with the ladder, the sealing the vents, moving the combustible furniture away, you know, taking care of little stuff. Then, like, within the, you know, hour to 2 hours before you might need to leave, then you're thinking more clearly about closing all the windows, the vents, the cat doors, the opening skylight, those kind of, you know, places where embers or flames could penetrate the house. Making sure your car is packed. And if you're on rural property, you know, do you have two ways out? And if one of those ways goes through your neighbors and there's gates, you know, you might want to put some extra equipment in, you know, something to cut those locks if you have to go out through somebody else's locks. Bring a chainsaw just in case, you know, trees have come down, coming out an alternate route, making sure you're wearing clothing that won't burn, so all cotton or wool, hats to cover your hair, bandanas, you know, for air quality, masks, if we have them, certainly have masks these days.
Yeah.
You know, but just putting yourself, you've got gloves, you've got stuff, you have tools and resources just in case, you know, your road out has been impacted in some way from either the wind blowing trees down or you're going out a different route than you normally have to. I was in Paradise shortly after the fire, I guess a year or more ago, and I met a husband and wife that were sifting through the ashes of their property, and the wife told me a very interesting story. That the husband was a doctor. He was at the hospital. The wife picked up, or she dropped off both, or no, she had carpooled with her neighbor. So older kids went to one school. She dropped other kids to younger school. Older kid starts calling her and saying, you know, Mom, I don't think I should be here. And her first reaction was, oh, he's just pulling my leg. He's a high school student trying to figure out how to get out of being in school. She walked outside. She smelled smoke. And she realized, oh, this is serious. And so she and her neighbor went and got the kids. They came back. She figured she had a 6-hour plan. And she was on the western side of Paradise. And her 6-hour plan meant, you know, getting the turtle and, you know, getting all of her belongings together and getting her documentation of information that was relevant and important and grabbing medications and some clothing and all that stuff. And she was going through those actions. And all of a sudden she walked outside and she saw all the birds flying away from the area where the fire was coming from. And her little spidey sense or intuitive sense went, oh, this is real. And so she went from her 6-hour plan to a 2-minute plan, put everybody in the car and left.
And it turned out to be rather prudent.
Rather prudent, right? So, yeah. You know, nature gave her some pretty good indication of what was happening. But that meant that she didn't have time to do this extra stuff that we're talking about.
And she had a plan, too, which is even more. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Valakovic. So, Yana, if people are looking for suggestions, work plans, things of that nature, Cal Fire, their local fire department, do you guys have lists of things at least to reference and make determinations and actions off of that?
Yeah. So Cal Fire has their Ready, Set, Go, Ready for Fire websites. It is easy to find those if you Google them. We also have some information that's broken into plans by hours. And if you just search University of California Wildfire, you'll find links to our website where we've got lots of information that, you know, details things like around the home and the home structure and things you can do to make the home better prepared and more resilient to wildfire, to this more evacuation and safety planning. And then, you know, the recovery process. What do you do post-fire? How do you recover both your property and, you know, some of the other challenging issues? I mean, the basic message is that people just need to have a plan. They need to have good communication within your family to figure out where you're going to go, where people are going to go, how to communicate. You know, if you're evacuating, leave a note on the door that says, everyone's out, and here's where we've gone.
Oh, that's a simple, easy one, even for earthquakes. That's cool.
Even for earthquakes, you know, small things that can make a difference.
Good.
Making sure you secured your pets before early on, because pets act strange in these final moments.
So do little kids, and so do older folks too. Thanks, Yana.
Right.
Okay. Talk to you next time.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.
Bye-bye.